Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's fur circus. Steven Ricker's testicles. He butted.
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli. Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy word.
La, 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go, live from the studios, 96.9 Wired. 111 Northwest 4th Street, below the Wired Coffee House. The Dirty D, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, talking all things Evansville Iceman. How are you doing today, Michael?
I just hope we're on the air. I called you, peek behind the curtain, sign of things to come. I call you to tell you I'm almost to the studio, and you said, and I quote, I'm breaking the radio station.
It's all good now. I hit a bunch of buttons, and music came on, so it must be fine.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day?
Something like, if you hit enough buttons, good things will happen.
There you go.
That's the motto of my life.
Maybe after a lot of bad things, but
well,
sooner or later.
It's all about the end results.
There you go.
Speaking of end results, let's talk about some Iceman transactions here, because you're going to go back 2 years and 7 months ago and catch us all up to date
yes.
at this point.
Breaking news. The Iceman...
Wake me up when we get to these since our last show segment.
The Iceman acquired Todd Robinson.
Yeah.
No, we're starting with the transactions because there have been a lot of moves made since our last show 2 weeks ago. And they played a big role in the game since our last show. Back on Thursday, the 20th, the Iceman acquired former K-Wing Prob Rye from Stockton for future considerations. It was a fifth-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks in 2008, had 199 points in 200 games in juniors in his last three seasons. So he's got some skill, but only played 35 pro games at the time of the trade and was limited in part due to back injuries. Apparently, when he first signed his NHL deal, he went out and bought a Mercedes or some sports car, and before he even played his first pro game, he got rear-ended.
Nice.
Talk about bad luck. He is a BC, British Columbia, native of Indian descent. His dad was born in Punjab, India, but represented Canada in the Olympics in 1984 in field hockey. Interestingly,
that's called the little miracle.
Yeah. Our other player of Asian descent, Brandon Wong, is also from the Vancouver area in British Columbia. Prob Rye grew up in Vancouver, and his favorite player growing up was the Russian Rocket, Pavel Bure. And since Prob was a speedy player in youth hockey, he was known as the Chocolate Rocket. You got nothing for that.
I already know where this story ends, so...
Yeah. To make room for him, Ben Warda was released, and Prob made his Iceman debut on Friday the 21st, wearing number 12, played three games, and then was released on Wednesday the 26th, because Patrick Kennedy was sent back down by the Utica Comets from the AHL, and Danny Hobbs was sent down by the Binghamton Senators. Both of them returned on Wednesday the 26th at Cincinnati, played all three games of the Thanksgiving road trip, and were then recalled by their AHL clubs on Monday the 1st.
That's a good Thanksgiving gift right there.
Yeah, pretty nice. Better than anything you can go get on Black Friday.
Yep.
When Hobbs was sent down, Ty Wishart went the other way. He was a team-leading plus 10. Any thoughts on that? How?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
He was a team-leading plus 10 when he was recalled, and he was recalled because Binghamton released him because he decided to sign over in Sweden in the second-tier pro league, not the Swedish Elite League, but the league below it, with a team in Mora. And as any Indianapolis Colts fan knows, if you sign with Mora, you can forget about playoffs.
Playoffs.
So Ty Wishart is apparently his era in Iceman history is over. But another era has restarted on Tuesday the 25th. The Iceman acquired former Iceman forward Jim McKenzie from the Bakersfield Condors for future considerations. He's a power forward who can hit and score, product of Michigan State. He is a veteran with over 360 pro games on his...
He was a veteran 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was. He played 12 games for the Icemen during our first ECHL season and actually has three other links to this team. He was drafted by the Ottawa Senators back in 2004 and played 62 games in the AHL with Binghamton early in his career. He also played under Dwight Mullins in the CHL with the Allen Americans. And in 2011-2012, under Mullins, he had his career-best season with 44 points in 54 games. And he is reuniting here with Kale Kerbashian and Jarrett Lucan, who were among his teammates in Allen 2 years ago when they won the CHL championship. So McKenzie redebutted on Wednesday the 26th at Cincinnati, and he is wearing number 15.
Ooh.
And then,
I guess that one's not going up in the rafters, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, took over Mooner's old number. On Thanksgiving the 27th, talk about something Mullins probably didn't want to have to deal with on Thanksgiving Day, Chris Dreger was reassigned to Binghamton by Ottawa because Binghamton goaltender Andrew Hammond was a bit dinged up. Dreger did start Binghamton's game at Syracuse on Friday the 28th, earning the victory as the B-Sens won 6-3. And then he was returned to us in time for our game at Elmira on Saturday the 29th. But because he was in Binghamton on Friday the 28th at Elmira, we had an emergency backup goalie, our first e-bug of the season.
There you go.
A gentleman by the name of Billy Brown, who is so obscure that he doesn't have a Hockey DB page and he doesn't have an Elite Prospect page and... Nobody seems to know who the heck he is. So
might be the maintenance or the maintenance guy at the rink in Elmira.
Yeah. And then once Dreger rejoined the team on Saturday the 29th, Billy Brown was released. So his illustrious pro hockey career with the Icemen lasted exactly one game. In other news, Jakub Sulak still battling back issues. He has been placed on 21-day injured reserve retroactive to November 9th. He is eligible to return as early as tonight if healthy, but from what we've sort of heard, that doesn't sound promising.
Yeah, he's working on some stuff. Now, he has been out at Swander working by himself on the ice. So
really?
I'll have to wait and see. But yeah, he's really struggling with a bad back issue.
And Daniel Johnston, who was acquired for the aforementioned Nathan Moon, was finally activated from reserve on Monday the 24th.
As predicted by the mad doctor.
Yeah.
Mad speculation. I'm two for two now.
He made his debut on the 26th at Cincinnati and played both games in Elmira as well. He is wearing number 13, first Iceman player to wear that number since our first CHL season back in 2010-11 when it was worn by both Chris Campanelli, or as Jennifer Watts likes to say, Camp in the Alley, and Brad Perkins' favorite man ever, Bo Cheeseman.
I like the Chuck chant at the Ford Center, but I'm always good for a Cheeseman chant.
Yeah.
Anytime,
anywhere. That's a classic. Yep. By the way, did you know, Brad informed me at a recent game that when all the cowbell crazies do their random music that they make, they are now referring to that in honor of this show as churning butter. Nice. He told me that. And
wow.
The sad thing is it's been so long since we did that episode, I didn't get the reference at first. He was like, when we do the cowbell thing, we're calling it churning butter. I was like, okay. And then he explained that it was because of the Weird Al reference on this show like 3 months ago. And I was like, oh,
there,
gotcha.
You go. So we're responsible.
Yeah, exactly. So we are currently at 11 healthy forwards rostered even after Hobbs and Kennedy got called back up. Tom Sarator and Tom Hartnett are still hanging around on reserve. We also have 7 defensemen even with Wishart gone and the 2 defensemen. We are now up to 8 trades made already this season. The one player for player trade, which was Moon for Johnston, and then seven different trades involving a player to be named later or future considerations. And for those keeping score at home, we currently owe 5 Chucks, and we are owed 2 Chucks. So our Chuck count is a -3.
Well, anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. You go to the Maniac message board and go to the last entry in the forum, and you can follow all of the Iceman transaction and roster moves. So anyways, since our last show, we have moved way down in the Maniac Insanity Advisory System fan base level.
Indeed. The Iceman went 4-2-1, earning 9 of a possible 14 points since our last show. They are now 8-7-2, tied for 3rd in the North Division.
Going to be a long season. There is obviously something wrong in that locker room.
Yes.
Yes.
And Coach Mullins is hard to play for.
Yes, he is. Right. It's obvious.
On Wednesday the 19th, the night of our last show, the Icemen shut out Greenville 3-0 at the Ford Center, snapped a 4-game losing streak, which had spiked the insanity level. Scoreless through 2 periods in that game, but the Icemen scored 3 times in the third. Jarrett Lucan, Brandon Wong, and Peter Sakaris scored. And Chris Dreger made 34 saves to earn his first professional shutout. That was the game in which Josh Beaulieu's number 20 was officially retired. And, for those who did not notice, that was also the game that the brand new AAHL Davidson Cup Championship banner finally made its debut in the Ford Center. So yep. There really is a new banner.
There
and
really
it's still
is.
There.
Yep.
How
and
about
I,
that?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Did not like Beaulieu's banner.
You don't care for it?
I think it's ugly.
It's a little plain.
It is ugly.
But still.
I'm glad it happened. Love the whole thing, yes. But I don't like, yeah.
Yeah. The banner itself, the physical design of the banner.
The physical design of the banner.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's a little plain, but oh well. At least it's there. In that game, Guy Lepine received a match penalty for a big open ice hit on Greenville captain Breton Cameron. He did not target the head from what the video showed, but he did get his arms into the head late in the hit. Cameron was motionless on the ice for a couple minutes, but eventually did skate off under his own power. He did not return in the game and still has not returned to their lineup. And because of that, and because of the focus on removing head shots in hockey, most people expected Lepine to get suspended for a game or 3 or 4. But it did not happen. The ECHL reviewed the hit and did not assess any further discipline, so he was not out for beyond the rest of that game, to our surprise.
First of all, I thought it was a great game. I thought everyone picked up the physicality level for the Icemen.
Yes.
And then that hit, a lot of times, if that match penalty is assigned correctly, as it was in that game, most leagues will count that as 1 game suspension.
Right.
Because you've already been removed. So if that hit was a 1-2 game, kind of, that's where they were looking at it. And he already served basically 1 game because he got kicked out in the 2nd period. Then
right.
And I was fine with that.
Well, and the good thing for him was the initial contact was not with the head. So, yes, he did make contact with the head on the follow-through of the hit, but the initial point of impact was not the head. And that's the thing that they're really trying hard to get rid of. So after that game, the Maniac Insanity Advisory System's fan base insanity level, as determined by Insanity Chief Rick Llewellyn, that's the title I'm giving him, was down 2 levels from high to guarded, which is for
Shouldn't
the...
he be like National Security's ass secretary or something like that? I mean assistant to the secretary.
Yeah, assistant, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were at guarded, which is for the love of God, hide the children. But then it went back up because on Friday the 21st, the Icemen went and got shut out at Cincinnati 4-0. Outshot 37-24 in the game, and Rob Medore earned the shutout for the Cyclones.
Going to be a long season.
Yeah.
Obviously something wrong in that locker room.
The insanity level went up 1 level to elevated, which is getting cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs around here. And then the level went up again the following night, Saturday the 22nd, a 6-2 loss at Toledo. Icemen were outshot again 40-27 and fell to 0-5-1 on the road. Brandon Kahm made his first professional start in net. Brandon Wong and Kevin Harvey had the goals for the Icemen, and there were 5 fights in that game. Harvey fought twice. Matt Lowry fought Kael Kardashian fought and Peter Sakaris fought. And the fights in that game went viral because that was the game, the Batman Riddler night. So when the Batman, when Batman and Riddler are fighting on the ice, it makes news. So Yahoo and ESPN and even CBC in Canada were reporting on that. So that was an interesting little tidbit, but you still don't like it.
Nope.
Gotcha. So anyway, yes, the insanity level went up to high, which is nuttier than a squirrel's winter stash.
It's going to be a long
and
season.
It was on the brink of just blowing
obviously
up.
Obviously something wrong in that locker room.
Right. We were almost getting to where the shapoop hit the fan. But then things started getting better. On Sunday, the 23rd, the Icemen beat Greenville 6-2 at home. Again, beat the Ward Warriors for the second time in a row at home.
And what a game.
Yes, that was a heck of a game. Andre Bouvet-Morisquet.
Wow, you're just making them up as you go.
Having all kinds of trouble here. Andre Bouvet-Morisquet scored twice.
Just call him Mo.
Yeah. Zach Curry and Peter Sakaris each had a goal and assist. Kael Kardashian scored. And Brandon Wong had the season's first Gordie Howe hat trick with a goal, two assists, and a fight. That game actually featured six more fights, so that would make 11 fights in a two-game span. Kind of a crazy game. Kevin Harvey fought twice. Lowry, Wong, Kardashian, and Lapine all fought, and that game featured the triple fight in the third period when Wong, Kardashian, and Lapine were all fighting at the same time. And in direct violation of the rule book, no game misconducts were issued.
Yeah, that's a good way to end your refereeing career.
Yeah.
Is
let a line brawl go and only give majors.
Yep.
Yeah. So
when it's real easy. I know math is hard, but I'm sure Vice President of Hockey Operations Joe Ernst is looking at the scoreboard or the score sheet at the end of the game, and it says fighting major at 8:17 in the third, 8:17 in the third, 8:17,
yeah,
six times.
Six of them.
It's pretty easy to figure
out
what's
no
going
games.
On.
Yeah. Yeah, because by rule, if you participate in a fight when an altercation has already begun, you are to be tossed.
Yep.
And we saw that in one of the other games since our last show when there were two fights at the same time and Lowry got ejected because he was the second fight. Yep. But in that game, nobody got tossed. So
I texted the man crush and said, how come no one got thrown out? And he said, I asked the exact same question.
Well, then.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. But, yeah, I was sick. I was sicker than a dog.
Really?
And I was laying on my couch in semi-misery, getting texts from my wife and Bill Nadeau within seconds of each other.
About the fight?
About everything, the whole entire game. And Rebecca said that it was the best, most entertaining game she has ever watched.
I don't know if it's the best, but I can't immediately think of one that's better. It was a very entertaining game. There were a couple key goals in that game. That was one of those games where it was 6-2, but it could have been a lot closer. The Icemen actually trailed 1-0, but then scored back-to-back goals just 8 seconds apart in the first period to turn a 1-0 deficit into a 2-1 lead. And then in the third period, we were up 3-1, and Greenville scored to cut it to 3-2. But then Kael Kardashian scored just 26 seconds later. And one of the things coaches always talk about is you never want to give up a goal within a minute of a goal being scored by either team. Because if you score a goal, then you don't want to give the momentum right back. And if you're scored upon, you want to limit it to one. You don't want to make it two and let it snowball. And the Icemen did it both ways inside of a minute in that game. And that it really deflated Greenville. Come the third period, they were only interested in fighting. They clearly knew the game was over, and they weren't really interested in playing. But yeah, it made for a very entertaining game. Six goals, including a free car wash, six fights. It was a rainy night, and there were literally puppies at the game because it was Paws and Pucks adoption night. So indeed, it is no longer just a theoretical level.
Didn't even think it was even possible.
The level was lowered three levels to low, which is rainbows and puppy dogs.
There's a good chance that, well, I would bet money on it, that if we make the playoffs and we win the Kelly Cup, we won't reach this level. There will still be enough crybabying on the asylum.
We'll still just be guarded.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're not sure. They could lose the next game. Wait, we just hoisted the cup. Well, we could still lose the next game. So, yeah.
There's obviously something wrong in that locker room.
Very much so.
It's going to be a long season.
Yep. So then, Wednesday, the 26th, a 5-3 victory at Cincinnati. Trailed 3-1 in that game in the third period, but scored four times in the final 8 minutes. Matt Lowry scored the game winner with just 12 seconds left, and Mo added an empty netter, which was his second goal of the game, with just 4 seconds left. Lucan and Harvey also scored in that game. Jim McKenzie had two assists in his season debut. Lapine and Kennedy also had two assists. Dreger got the win in net, and Donnie Harris took part in his first ever fight as a member of the Icemen.
I was kind of hoping for 2 weeks from now when Fort Wayne comes in and he fights Crew as his cherry popping fight, but we'll take it.
So the fan base insanity level stayed at low after that win, and it would remain there because Friday the 28th, the Icemen went to Elmira, where they have been snake bit, and earned a point with a 3-2 overtime loss. Trailed 2-0 in the first period, but got third period goals by Moe and Danny Hobbs to force overtime. Brandon Kamm made 42 saves in just his second career start, but was denied his first win when our old friend Mike Seidel scored the game winner.
Season.
Yeah.
7 goals already.
Minute 7 into overtime for the Jackals. He now has 12 points in 14 games, including 5 points in 5 games against the Icemen, so he's doing pretty well.
Yep.
But we've seen this out of him before. Last year, before he hit that rookie wall, he had 12 points in an 11-game span for the Icemen. So
yeah, he was a 10-goal scorer as well.
It's not surprising. He is capable of that kind of output, and I hope he keeps doing it for his sake. I just hope he doesn't do it much more against the Icemen. So the insanity level remained at low despite the loss. The rationalization for that was we had the backup goalie in net, an E-Bug on the bench. We finally got a point in Elmira, and we came back from a 2-goal deficit. So there wasn't any panic amongst the masses, and we stayed at low.
Plus, a lot of people are probably still hung over from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everybody was asleep and tryptophan.
Yeah.
And then our final game to recap, Saturday the 29th, a 1-0 win at Elmira. Kevin Harvey scored in the first period, and it held up the rest of the way as Chris Dreger made 38 saves to earn his second pro shutout in his second in 11 days. And 2 shutouts ties him for the Iceman franchise record with Brian Gillis and P.O. Peltier. Each had 2 in our second CHL season. In that game at Elmira, another fight-filled game, there were 4 bouts. Miles Bell with his first career fight. Andre Bouvet-Morissette with his second career fight and his first with the Icemen. And a couple of the usual suspects, Guy Lapine and Matt Lowry, who's fighting a lot this season. They both have 4 now on the season. That means that in the 9-day span from the 21st to the 29th, that is 17 fights. We're now up to 25 on the season. We talked last show that we were dead last in the league at penalty minutes per game.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore. We are now all the way up to 13th. So we went from dead last to the top half of the league in 2 weeks.
Yep.
That's what a lot of fights will get you. But yes, the fan base and standard level remains at low.
And you got to wonder, that game Wednesday night with Beaulieu when they retired his jersey, the Icemen were finishing every check. They were physical. And it was not just Lapine. I mean, Lapine was running around like a crazy man.
But yeah.
Harris was checking and Rutkowski was checking. Everyone was finishing checks up and down the ice. And you got to wonder if that wasn't a little coaching talk, hey, it's time to put up or shut up kind of thing. And,
yeah.
And they've been getting points and, and racking up boxing heavyweight belts all at the same time.
It's the old, we may not beat you, but we'll beat you up.
Exactly. And it's working. So I like it.
Yep.
Shockers. Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
All right. This is fitting, I think, given the current mentality of the Icemen fan base, who are very happy and voicing their pleasure. You like the way I said that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you got voicing your pleasure and churning your butter in the same segment.
Exactly. Also fitting given the recent penchant for fisticuffs displayed by the Icemen, because some of the words in this song talk about you're going down, you're going hard. there's more. Never mind. Also, the real reason I'm playing this is today is Ozzy Osbourne's 66th birthday. That's one of those guys that he seems older than he really is.
Yeah.
Drugs are bad, children. This is a song I used as a warm-up song at Swander, and I believe they still use it now at the Ford Center. From 2010, it's Ozzy Osbourne. Let me hear you scream.
Think has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, You Think has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our You Think family of supporters.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley. And Daddy.
And Daddy. And we are back. The Dirty D, the Shocker, 96.9, Wired.
I got a bone to pick with you, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. How is it that I initiated the whole music bomb thing before Bill Nadeau started his bomb? And then when they changed to Wired, I'm told we can't do music bomb anymore. But last time Bill was here in the studio, I'm listening, and what do I hear? You have started calling it music bomb for him again.
It's in his contract.
Oh, really?
It's all about the contract.
You might
learn both within Youth Incorporated and in the world in general that contracts and having things in writing usually solve a lot of problems in advance.
Gotcha.
Just saying.
I'm gonna put music bomb in writing.
That's fine. Submit it to the authorities.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. It's time for mad speculation by the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D. 100% free of facts because the truth hurts way more than just making stuff up. To recap, we have diagnosed that Peter Sakaris had somnambulism. The treatment was an antiseptic bloodbath.
And it worked.
Daniel Johnston had gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification.
Oh, that was a tough one.
That was brutal. And Zach Sternberg, though he was officially a healthy scratch, you revealed the truth. He was battling officium defunctorum. The treatment was stereotaxic atrocities.
Yep, and he's healthy, too. I'm 3 for 3.
He has played. Yeah, you're 3 for 3. So, the new case of the week, sir, Peter Sakaris had 5 points in the first 4 games after our last show, but did not play in any of the 3 games over the Thanksgiving weekend. Why?
Well, it was he's always kind of struggled with that lower body injury, hence the somnambulism, mm-hmm. and that's why we had to put him in the antiseptic blood bath. Mm-hmm. But this time it kind of moved you know, we'll get specific, but it was more of the upper body type of injury. Mm-hmm. And Peter Sakaris suffered with spectrophobic dementia.
Really?
Really.
Ooh,
horrendous.
That's bad.
That is bad. Not sure if it happened either during the game, maybe an elbow in the chin or something like that, maybe slipping into or out of the antiseptic blood bath. We're not sure, but obviously, something got messed up with the brain bone, and so he developed the symptoms of spectrophobic dementia.
So it's a phobia and it's dementia. Does that mean you're afraid of forgetting something, or are you forgetting you're afraid of something?
I just tell you what it is. I'm not sure how it all plays out, other than he's not in the lineup.
Gotcha.
But hopefully he will return to the lineup.
So how is he going to do that? What treatment do you recommend for this thing that you won't tell us the details about?
It's similar to the antiseptic blood bath, but we actually need earthenware pots.
You're going to beat him over the head with them?
No. You're going to put him in the earthenware pots, but it is a specific type of bath that involves absolute body quiescence.
I beg your pardon?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Really?
Really.
Hmm.
Look it up in the doctor's manual.
Yeah, okay.
So, but yeah, put him in an earthenware pot with some absolute body quiescence, and we expect him to be in the lineup tonight against Indianapolis. And should that not happen, he will definitely be in the lineup Friday versus the K-Wings.
Gotcha. You heard it here first.
That is mad speculation.
Cool. All right. We'll move on.
We will, after I've done drinking.
You chug your ski. You couldn't have drank that when we were between segments.
West Side to the core. The Hoosier Hockey Championship Bout. Is this really? Why are we even bringing this up? We don't even play these. We play Indy tomorrow.
It's bad. tonight, yes.
I mean, tonight.
What's in that ski? You mixing it with Grippos and getting some sort of reaction?
Actually, Canadian Club whiskey and ski. Really, really. Potent combination.
Don't drink and drive, children. So after a few weeks without any in-state games, the Hoosier Hockey Championship belt was finally defended again on Thanksgiving night. The Fort Wayne Comets beat the Indy Fuel 2-1 in a shootout. Fort Wayne now has held the belt for more than 6 weeks with 3 title defenses, all against Indy. Up next, tonight's Iceman Fuel game in Indy is a non-title affair.
That's what I thought. Why are we even talking about the thing if it's a non-title affair?
Fort Wayne will defend the belt against Indy again this Saturday, and if Fort Wayne beats Indy on Saturday, finally...
Which they won't, because we've got Fort Wayne on the calendar.
Yeah. Finally, the Icemen will get a shot, their first shot of the season, when the Comets visit Evansville on Friday the 12th. But yes, you're right. Because of the way the schedule's falling and the way this keeps working out, it seems like Indy will finally beat the Comets this weekend, and we still won't get a shot.
I made my earlier prediction that if we do make the playoffs, that there will be people complaining and we can't get the insanity level down. My second prediction is this belt will never, it will change hands, but Evansville will never play for it this season because of the calendar.
That would be... Honestly, that would be really statistically odd.
Yep.
With 30 games, that would never happen. But we're a third of the way there, and so far it's looking good.
Around the ECHL?
Couple quick things to note from around the league. The Orlando Solar Bears are nearing the end of a 13-game, 25-day road trip. Can you imagine going on that, Mr. Former Broadcaster? That would be brutal.
Who's doing their laundry?
Everyone, apparently.
I mean, is their equipment guy doing all their laundry?
I don't know.
Too?
That's brutal. I don't know. I didn't look at where they're going. I would hope maybe they've at least been able to return home for a day or two here and there.
Yeah, because we did that because it was initially looking like last year when we went down to Florida that we were going to go all the way across the country to Elmira and then back to Pennsylvania, then come back. But we did sneak back into town for a day and a half to reload.
That would make it a little bit better. So far, they're actually faring pretty well. They're 11 games into the 13-game trip, and they're 8-3 through those 11 games. And one of those losses was a wild affair at Toledo on Black Friday. They lost that game 9-6.
Yep.
You don't see 15 goals in a game very often. Nope. That tied the season high. There was a game, I think Tulsa and Allen played a 9-6 game earlier in the season. So that's pretty rare to see that many goals. Elsewhere in the former South Division, now it's the East Division, on Tuesday, the 1st, yesterday, the Gwinnett Gladiators fired head coach Rick Emmett. They went 29-38-5 last year under him, finished last place in their division, and they are currently last place in their division again this year at 6-10-1, and apparently the Gladiators ownership decided enough is enough and it's time for a change, to quote the late, great Owen Hart. And it's not very often at this level that you see a coaching change mid-season.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really fair to Rick. If you looked at that roster before the season started, there was, I mean, it's our third year in the ECHL, and you start to know names, and they had some decent players, but there was no standout players of any caliber on that roster. And
you said it before opening night. You said you weren't going to opening night because you looked at their roster, and you were like,
I wasn't interested in. You know, we looked at, in our third season, we looked at the Icemen. You like them into the playoffs. I got them in fifth place. But we both said the same thing. We've got concerns about the defense corps. I mean, after you've been in this league long enough and you start knowing these guys and you see the names, you think, oh, man, this team's stacked. Oh, man, this team should play. Now, you still got to play the games on the ice. Mm-hmm. But, man, when you look at this roster, Coach Emmett was behind the eight ball before the season even began.
Yeah. Now, the question is, how much input did he have into building that inferior roster? And if that's part of his duties, then perhaps, yeah, more of the onus does fall on him. But, yeah, if you look at the team on paper and it doesn't look good from the get-go, then why are you expecting a lot more than you've gotten?
I will just say that without going into detail, and I don't have a lot of detail, Antoine Corbin last year was very happy to get traded to us.
Really?
Yes.
From Gwinnett.
From Gwinnett.
Gotcha.
So, there you go. Ooh, real men of genius.
Yes. So, there's a gentleman by the name of Atom. Man, what is up with me this week? I've had too much ski and Canadian whiskey.
you wish.
Adam Proto from The Hockey News recently published a column called Be a Better Hockey Fan 101. About some of the stupid things that hockey fans do. Among them,
I didn't even read the article because I was afraid of what I was going to find in there and how much it would describe Evansville.
Among the things he ranted were, fans banging on the glass, people spilling beer on either your person or your belongings, and the wave.
Uh-oh, he went there.
Yes. A link to the column was posted on the Maniac Asylum, and a nice little debate ensued, mostly with people being on the side of the wave is stupid, but there were a few dissenters. So I thought now is the perfect time to debut this Real Men of Genius tribute. This was recorded a few weeks ago before that Hockey News piece was even published.
And we can prove it.
Yeah. It is our tribute to Mr. Let's All Get Up and Do the Wave Guy. Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Let's All Get Up and Do the Wave Guy.
Mr. Let's All Get Up and Do the Wave Guy.
It's a tie game with less than a minute to go. Team is on the power play, and you have just the ticket to sure victory.
Let's do the wave!
That's right. All your team needs is inspiration from seeing the crowd do its impression of the Ohio River on a windy day.
Let's try it again.
Steadfast, you aren't discouraged by all of those who rudely ignore you and stubbornly pay attention to the game on the ice.
Come on, keep it going.
So we salute you, O Wizard of the Wave, because when the team scores to win the game as the clock strikes zero, we know that you're the true hero.
Mr. Let's All Get Up and Do the Wave Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WYIR, Evansville, Indiana.
Third segment, Iceman Insights, starring the general manager of Wrecking Homes,
Jerry,
the man crush stealer. Girls, keep your men where you can see them, because Michael Shockley is a rat bastard.
So we introed this segment with the classic Jerry Springer theme because it's about to get violent up in here. There is a certain ECHL linesman who is often referenced on this show, generally because he's your man crush.
Known him for a long, long time.
Zebra love and all that good stuff. Yeah, we've known him for a while. He goes back to the Swander days. This week, we won't mention him by name because we don't want to get him in trouble with the league. So we'll just call him heretofore the man crush.
The man crush. Who I'm very upset with.
Yes. Loyal listeners of the show know who we're talking about. So, the man crush was working a recent Iceman game at the Ford Center, and he got slashed on the hand on a face-off late in the game.
Just to back up. So, the recent man crush was working a recent Iceman game after I sharpened his skates for him for free and bought him lunch at Reroz. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, you can butter him up all you want. Truth hurts, my friend. So after he got slashed on the hand during that game, I had the common decency to drop him a line on Facebook.
I was already texting him.
And inquire.
I was sexting him while he was driving home.
Just send him a picture or something and say, sorry, you can't use your hand right now.
No comment.
So I dropped him a line on Facebook to inquire about the status of his hand, and he informed me that it hurt and was in a splint but would be fine. He wanted me to let the Maniacs know everything will be okay, because he knows he's a bit of a good luck charm for us, apparently, and the record proves it. And he told me that I was working my way up to, and I quote, Derek Bonini status, and that I should let you know that I may end up passing you up. My response to that was, hell no, he might break my kneecaps, dude's got a dark side. To which the man crush replied, true, I've seen his weapons. And I said, exactly, that whole medieval hobby thing of his is just a cover. To which the man crush said, quote, LOL, end quote.
Capital L-O-L,
yes.
According to our sheets.
Undeterred, however, the man crush boldly and somewhat publicly declared his growing love for yours truly this past Monday on the Facebook by saying, quote, today's man crush Monday is a confidential pick. The person knows who he is but has asked for anonymity as he fears personal injury at the hands of a past man crush Monday winner. If I were to out him to the world, let's just say it would be a shocker. End quote. Predictably, though, you, my medieval friend, responded with a profanity-laced tirade directed at moi.
I believe in about 3 minutes after it got posted.
Yes.
As I stalk.
Ending with,
I'm a troll.
Quote, I done told you to stay away from my man. End quote. All I have to say is you had your shot. Maybe you should have listened to Bruno Mars and bought him flowers when you had the chance.
Well, all I know is I gave that man crush the best years of my life, my baby bearing years.
Really?
Really. My biological clock was ticking.
Are there little curly-haired man crushes floating around somewhere we don't know about?
And he returns my love and skate sharpenings. First of all, I should always be Man Crush Monday.
Every week.
Yes. And second of all, when he comes into town on December 26th, I'm not sure who's sharpening his skates.
Really?
There you go.
You're going to leave him hanging? So if he's out there slipping and sliding on the ice on the 26th?
You can throw him flowers.
Yeah, there you go. That was a nice double Sal Cal. Him flowers. I like what you did there.
That's there you
nice. Go. So last show we talked about your rear end being painful because of the Leafs getting blown up by the Preds.
And now they're turning
around. Yeah. So maybe that's the thing. We just have to address it, get it out there, air the dirty laundry. And since the Leafs tirade, everything's been fine. So maybe since this, we got it out there, it helps to talk about it. This is like a psychiatric session or a psychological session or whatever psyche thing it is. And it's going to make things all that much better. Maybe by the time he comes here on the 26th, you will have patched things up. You'll return to your rightful place as the number one man crush, and everything will be good. And he won't have to worry about his skates being sharpened.
I'm way too bitter for that.
Oh.
There you go.
Are you one of those grudge holders? You're not going to let it go?
My baby daddy's out working with hoes. Hell yeah.
Hey, now.
I'm
gonna
be upset.
Hey. I am not a hoe.
Yeah.
That means someone would have to pay me.
Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
Iceman fans can follow Iceman athletic trainer and former amusement park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter, BPATAFIE.
He won't be here this week, by the way.
Gotcha. Yeah, he was the
former.
He was the surprise. He just hasn't been here in a long time.
Yeah.
He's the on hiatus.
No,
amusement
he's not
park
even
guest.
On hiatus. He's a busy man.
Yeah.
He's got open door policy.
Yeah.
Except for when I forget to unlock it.
Just say, yeah, except for when you don't open the door.
But he's got my phone number.
Yeah. So he posted this 2 days before Thanksgiving. This is a typical Brian Patafi years old joke. He said, quote, "I went out and shot a turkey today. Scared the crap out of the folks in the frozen food section, but I got it."
There you go. I liked Happy Thanksgiving to all my American friends and all my Canadian friends. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back. The Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
Yes, where we playfully throw someone under the bus for the most insane recent post in the Maniac Asylum on Facebook. And it's a familiar face in the feature this week. Young Mr. Ryan Huff. Discussing the performance of Iceman broadcaster Sean Pooley said, quote, "I could call a better hockey game than Sean," end quote. Now, no matter what you think of Mr. Pooley's broadcast style, just sit for a moment and wash this around in your brain and think about Ryan Huff calling a hockey game.
Well,
so
I like it. First of all, you might as well send the tape in, because if history repeats itself, he may be broadcasting next year. Seeing as how we get changed like underwear. But I think
you
we
only change
do
your underwear once a year?
Well, yeah.
Man.
I wonder why Man Crush is stepping out on me.
Exactly. I change mine twice a year. That's how I roll.
I think we got to do it. I think we got to put Ryan Huff on the microphone. We'll set up Thunder High School or Thunder JV hockey game over at Swander Ice Arena. We'll bring the broadcast equipment, and we'll turn on WYIR, and we'll
and
put
let
it
him
out
call
there.
A game.
That's right.
By himself.
Yep.
The same way Pooley does. And see what happens.
I like it.
I think it would, all kidding aside, people would listen.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, it's like, why do you watch a car wreck?
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to, we might have to do something to, make a reason for it, as in raise a couple of bucks for WYIR and maybe get some money for, or not some money, but some local charity or something we can do something with it. So
interesting.
But we'll do something. We're going to do it. So Ryan Huff, if you're listening, contact me, and you better start watching games over at Swander Ice Arena. You're going to have to know the players.
Familiarize yourself. Do your research.
Yep.
Pick a date that works and
Here we go.
We're going to have some fun.
Upcoming games.
All right.
This schedule is really falling in the Iceman's favor.
Yes.
Very easy December schedule.
Yeah. 8 home games and just 4 road games in December, and all of the road games are close. 2 of them at Fort Wayne, 1 each at Cincinnati and Indy. And the Cincinnati game was not originally on the schedule. That was the game that was in January that got moved. So originally, the schedule had the Iceman playing every single game in December in the state of Indiana.
Nice.
But the Cincinnati game had to come in and ruin it. But the month starts off with a light week, just 2 games until our next show. It starts tonight, the 3rd, at Indy, the first of 10 straight games played in the state of Indiana. And then it continues on Friday the 5th, this coming Friday. The Icemen return home to face the Kalamazoo Wings at 7:15. It is the first of 3 visits by Kalamazoo this season, and they have gone ice cold. They started the season 6-2-1, but they are just 0-7-1 since.
Yep. And as you listened in the first segment, we had broadcaster Mike Maduno on the air.
So, yes.
And he talked a little bit about that.
The game will be Mascot Night, featuring Mascot Broomball, which to me always brings back memories of the year at Swander when Thomas Laverne was portraying Blizzard and they were playing Broomball and his broom broke in the middle of the Broomball game. He just went around running around with a stick.
That
and didn't work
night.
So well.
That was a good night.
That was a lot of fun. So you never know what will happen with Mascot Broomball.
Never know what will happen with mascots. That's the reason for them.
That's true.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
All right, the dangling tangent.
So a couple weeks ago, the weekend after our last show, a man and I went over to Louisville to see Newsies, the Broadway musical at the Kentucky Center in Louisville, which is a beautiful theater if anyone's never been there, which makes me ask, I don't know if you've even ever been to them, but what is the best musical you've ever seen?
Man, I saw a production of Gypsy in Detroit at a really, really small theater. I think it was a small college theater, and it was awesome. The lead role was played by Liza Minnelli's daughter, and Liza Minnelli had a cameo in it. So that was pretty good. But probably my favorite was I went up to Toronto and saw Showboat.
Really?
And that was really, really good.
Is that at the new theater? How recently was it?
Oh, no, that was back in 94, I think. So
we were there last year. We walked by the new theater there. It looked really nice.
So that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I love musicals.
Yeah.
Love them, love them.
I do, too. I'm a big fan. It's weird. A man and I have this very eclectic taste. Like, we'll go to hockey games and sporting events, and we'll go to wrestling shows, and we'll go to musicals.
Yeah.
That's, in fact, before the season started, when we went to Nashville for a weekend, we did that. We went to a WWE wrestling show one night, and we went to a Broadway musical the night before. So,
I was cracking up over right before Thanksgiving. We were going to the Ford Center to watch the Iceman games, mm-hmm. and they kept showing that commercial for the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde musical, and Ivy would see it, and she just kept saying over and over, "Oh, that look! I gotta see that! I gotta see that!" So. She's kind of been raised on that mindset, too. Mm-hmm. You even think, like, a lot of the Disney movies are musical-esque, and Ivy was raised at a very small age on Nightmare Before Christmas, which is, for all intents and purposes, a claymation musical.
Yeah.
So she digs that kind of stuff. So, but, yeah, I've always thought that, one, I have a friend that wrote a musical, and I also thought that life is... I like to think of my life as a musical, and sometimes so I can have my own soundtrack to it. So, like, I got 30 Seconds to Mars playing, and then I do something, and then this happens, and then, you know, some Stevie Nicks or something. So, yeah.
You mentioned the Disney musicals. Have you seen The Lion King, the musical?
Oh, no, I haven't seen any of them. That's what
it is fantastic. The choreography and the costumes and stuff are tremendous. I don't know. I can't necessarily put my finger on a single one. There's 4 or 5 that are like you see them. We've seen it. I've probably seen 20 different musicals at least. And it's like, there's tiers. It's not necessarily that there's one that stands out above the rest, but I think my top tier would be Phantom of the Opera. You ever seen that?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
I've seen that like 3 times. It's really, really good. Rent.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
Wicked.
I haven't seen it.
Once.
Haven't I like them, but I guess I don't see too much more than
them,
Disney.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a musical since probably 94.
Oh, so you haven't seen any real recent ones. Yeah. So there's a lot of good ones. We saw A couple years ago, we saw there's one called Million Dollar Quartet. It's a new one, and it's about the night that Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash were in a studio together, and the whole show is basically these very, very good impersonators of them singing their music.
Wow.
And it was really, really good. But yeah, there's a lot of good ones. We saw, when we went to Nashville, we saw Once, and that was probably the most recent one that I saw that I really, really liked. It's based on the movie, an indie movie that came out a few years ago, and it's really good. If you like acoustic guitar music, you need to see Once. Even if you don't see the musical, just rent the movie. It's really, really good.
Final thoughts.
Next show is next week.
Next week. We'll be looking forward to it. Only two games to talk about.
Yeah.
First segment will only be 8 minutes long.
Yeah, right. You know how we are.
He is Michael Shockley.
You know how I am.
Obviously, Man Crush does. He is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com for all your information on the Evansville Iceman. Do you go to the Courier Press?
No.
Do you go to the Evansville Iceman website?
Well, wait. Is it EvansvilleIceman.com or the EvansvilleIceman.com?
I don't know. I think the only thing on there is about Nathan Moon requesting a trade. But all the information you need about your beloved Evansville Iceman, you can check it out at IcemanManiacs.com. You are listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM Wired Radio.
And for those of you wondering, he did not remember that on his own. I did add it to the script.
Had to be written down.
Yep. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.